Canto 11, Chapter 12. The Confidential Secret Beyond Renunciation and Knowledge. The Supreme Lord said, "One does not assent to me by mysticism or analysis, common piety or the study of the scriptures, by penances, renunciation, pious works or charity, by respecting vows, ceremonies, Vedic hymns, pilgrimage, by general discipline or the basic rules. One rather closes me in one's heart by the satsanga with my devotees that drives away all attachment to sense gratification. By associating with my devotees, many living beings in every age achieved my refuge, like the sons of Diti, the malicious ones, the animals, the birds, the singers and dancers of heaven, the souls of excellence and of perfection, the venerable souls and the treasure keepers, the scientific ones among the humans and the merchants, laborers and women, the uncivilized ones and those of passion and slowness. So also did Vritrasura, the son of Kayadu, Prahlada and others like them, Vrishaparva, Bali, Bana, Maya, as also Vibhishana, the brother of Ravana, Sugriva, leader of the Vanaras, and Hanuman, Jambavan, Gajendra, Jatayu, Tuladhara, Dharmavyada, Kubja, and the gopis of Vraja, the wives of the Brahmins, and others. Not having studied the sacred scriptures, nor having worshipped the great saints, they all, without vows and not having undergone austerities, attained me by association with my devotees. Only by unalloyed love indeed, the gopis, just as others of a limited intelligence like the cows, the immobile creatures, the snakes like Kaliya, and more animals, managed to achieve perfection and quite easily attained me. I, who cannot even be reached by greatly endeavoring in yoga, analysis, charity, vows, penances, ritualistic sacrifices, exegesis, personal study, or taking to the renounced order. When Akrura took me and Balarama to Mathura, they, the inhabitants of Vrindavana, whose hearts were attached to me with the deepest love, suffered greatly because of the separation, for they saw no one else to make them happy. All the nights they in Vrindavana spent with me, their most dearly beloved, O Uddhava, seemed to take but a moment to them, but again bereft of me, they became as long as a kalpa. Just as sages, fully absorbed, lose the awareness of names and forms, like they are rivers entering the water of the ocean, also they, whose consciousness was intimately bound to me, had no awareness anymore of their bodies, their present or their future. The hundreds and thousands of women who desired me as their friend and lover had no knowledge of my actual position and attained me by associating with me the absolute supreme truth. Therefore, O Uddhava, give up the religious precepts and prohibitions, denial and routines, and that what you should listen to and have listened to. Choose for me alone the actual shelter of the soul within all embodied beings. With that exclusive devotion, you will enjoy my mercy and have nothing to fear from any side." Sri Uddhava said, "Hearing your words, O Master of all Yoga Masters, has not dispelled the doubt in my heart that is clouding my mind." The Supreme Lord said, "He, the living being in person, the Lord, is manifest within along with the Prana. He, after all, entered the heart and has his place in the subtle sound vibration that fills the mind with the grosser form of the sounds of words that are different intonations of short and long vowels and consonants. Just as fire, confined within wood, with the help of air, kindled by friction, is born very tiny and increases with ghee, I similarly manifest myself in this Vedic inner voice. Speech, the function of the hands and legs, the genitals and the anus, smell, taste, sight, touch and hearing, and the functions of one's determination, wisdom and self-concern, as also the primary cause of matter, and the gunas, rajas, tamas, and sattva, are thus to be understood as transformations of my nature. This living entity, one and unmanifest, which is concerned with the threefold nature of the gunas, constitutes the source of the lotus of creation. He who is eternal, in the course of time divided therewith, his potencies in many divisions, just like seeds do that fell on fertile soil. The complete of this universe, expanding long and wide like cloth expanding along the threads of its warp and woof, is situated in him, on his thread. Since time immemorial, there is this tree of material existence, samsara, that blossoming and producing fruits is naturally inclined to fruitive action, or karma. Of this tree, extending in the sun, there are two seeds, sin and piety, hundreds of roots, the living entities, three lower trunks, the modes, five upper trunks, the elements, five saps produced, sound, form, touch, taste and aroma, 11 branches, the mind and the 10 indriyas, two birds having a nest, jiva and atma, three types of bark, air, bile and mucus, and two fruits, happiness and distress. Those who, fervently desiring, live a household life, the vultures, enjoy one fruit of the tree, that of sin, whereas the other fruit of piety is enjoyed by the swan-like sages who live in the forest. He who, with the help of the worshipable souls, the devotees, the gurus, knows the oneness of him who, by dint of his maya, appears in many forms, knows the actual meaning of the Vedas. The sober soul, who, thus with unalloyed devotion, honors the spiritual master and, with the acts of knowledge, cuts with the subtle body of attachment entertained by the individual soul, attains with the greatest care living spiritually the supreme soul and then abandons the means by which he attained.